On the other end of the spectrum, as I welcome you to Myopia Movies, we go from the highs of GoldenEye, which is an incredible film, to The Lawnmower Man, which is a movie that had been cut to ribbons, released two different versions, and is completely bizarre. Though there is some, you know, Pierce Brosnan, so how can you argue, even though he's doing a voice here, which is very strange. In the meantime, I want to thank you guys for listening as we dive back into our Patreon, and enjoy this summer break. Thanks, guys.
Hello and welcome to Mission Briefing, part of the Myopia Network. I am your host, John, and today we tackled the 1992 Super Graphics Extravaganza, Lawnmower Man.
That's right.
The way to dissect this quality film is...
I'm Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov, and I use God mode whenever I do virtual reality.
Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn, who has the shop-like entity in his fiction, although they're a lot nicer.
Hello, this is Daniel, frequent contributor to Popdose, and I'm the edging man.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
And all of those will make a better film than what we watched.
No.
Well, we'll see.
I don't need to watch Daniel almost finish masturbating.
Yes, you do, Nick.
Oh, God.
You're acting like you haven't done it before.
There's a higher Patreon watched. Tier for that.
Yeah. This was a film.
This was 1992,
starred Pierce Brosnan, which was fantastic. This was pre-James Bond. And Jeff Fahey?
Fahey.
Yes. Yeah, Jeff Fahey. No.
And it was, wow, this was a film, man.
This was something.
I had never seen this before, and this was, wow.
I remember on Saturday Night Live seeing a rerun on Comedy Central back in the day when Comedy Central would do SNL reruns. Where Pierce Brosnan was the host, and as a joke, he was promoting GoldenEye, and he's like, you know, I'm famous for playing a very popular character, and that's Dr. Angelou. People will come up and tell me, hey, you're Dr. Angelou. And I'll be like, yes.
And then if I recall correctly, one of the cast members go, aren't you Dr. Angelou? and he got the name wrong on purpose. Like, it's fine. It was almost a joke.
Almost.
Almost a joke.
Yeah.
And Jeff Fahey, known for making bad movies.
Yeah, like I looked him up, like he had one of those faces that was vaguely familiar. Like I was telling Daniel earlier, I thought he was the Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
Because he's got kind of that face to him. And you said he was Trey Parker from South Park.
He looks like Trey Parker from South Park.
Especially at the end when he's like bemulleted, it's really
yes.
rough.
Yeah.
He has a blonde mullet, like the entire movie. He looks so weird with it.
It's the 90s, early 90s.
It is. I mean, and the early 90s was the time with, it was either that or that horrible bowl haircut that all men had.
Yeah.
Made him look like a penis.
It bled hard into the 90s.
The Mo Howard was very popular in the early 90s.
My brother had the
style at the time.
Yeah.
My brother had the Mo Howard. I had the one where you combed it over and then flipped up just the front.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Floppy-haired, brown-haired boy. Like, that's what you did.
Yep.
And if you don't know Jeff Fahey, he was in Psycho 3, Darkman 3, Blue. It's just garbage movies. Like, we could just do his whole filmography and we'd be fine.
Little known fact, that's how Myopia started.
Yes. The Fahey-verse was first and foremost in our
book. Little known fact, he's actually paying us to do that, so it brings his movies back
and
in prominence.
And here he is, special guest star.
He goes, what the hell are you guys doing to my movie? I mean, I guess technically, since our first was Bill and Ted.
Wasn't he in that Easy Rider sequel?
Oh God, the one that came out like 3 years ago?
Yeah, that weird knockoff thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was in, most recently, the thing I saw him in was he was in the Alita Battle Angel movie.
I never saw that.
That was fine.
That's a decent film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. Oh, and he's in Machete, if you've seen Machete.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
And, you know, and then, I mean, again, like, The Ride Back is what you were thinking of.
Oh, my God.
That is a bunch of, like, yuppies who bought the rights of just, like, I know what that movie was about, making money. And you're just like, you have never seen a movie before. It's like those dudes who think Scarface is like a hero.
Yes.
Right? Or think that Goodfellas is like something they want to aspire to. It's just, you watch movies wrong, guys.
Or like Tyler Durden had a good point.
That's right.
Yeah, right. And I mean, of everyone in this film, like normally these movies are like, you've got your A-list actors, your B-list actors, and then just the filler. other than Pierce Brosnan, I recognized no one in this film.
No.
I recognize one person, the woman that tries to seduce Smart Job.
She does seduce Smart Job.
That's Jenny Wright. She, I think, is where I knew her from was the Pink Floyd The Wall movie.
Oh, yeah,
where she was the groupie that like tried to seduce Bob Geldof, and then
she plays a type.
I've also seen her. She's in St. Elmo's Fire, that movie that everyone tried to convince me was good.
Yeah.
Although I think they just like the fact that it's almost a John Hughes movie because it has Ally Sheedy and Judd Nelson in it.
Oh, the Joel Schumacher movie.
Yeah, it's not good. Joel Schumacher is a good filmmaker with good moments.
No, he is not.
Well, you're just looking at Batman, aren't you?
I mean,
what else has he done?
A lot.
He did Falling Down. He did Phone Booth. Those are the two movies of his that I like.
I like Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
He did Lost Boys.
Yeah. Like
he did 8mm, which I'm sure we'll do someday.
Wait, I thought that was, what's his face? The Italian guy.
Scorsese?
No, that's 6.5mm, isn't it?
Fellini.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also did Probable Stay Tuned, The Wiz, which is...
Wait, he directed The Wiz?
Oh, no, he wrote The Wiz. Because remember, he started out as a writer. He also did Car Wash with George Carlin and Richard Pryor.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Flatliners is weird. Time to Kill, he directed. You know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, Time to Kill, that's...
It's fine. It gets all the points wrong. He also directed two movies that Matt has suggested, Phantom of the Opera and The Number 23. We might do those. Phantom of the Opera with Gerard Butler as the Phantom.
That is a beautiful movie. I will defend it. It just looks so good.
It looks good, but
the content is crap.
And I mean, you don't need Gerard Butler to sing. You need him to tear his shirt off because I mean he's a beefcake. He's a handsome man, but you cover up the handsome man's face and then you make him sing.
Yeah, he's not the best of actors. It's like when they had Hugh Jackman singing in Les Miserables. It's like, he can look good. Can he sing, though?
You mean Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe.
Sorry, Russell Crowe.
Hugh Jackman is a lot of musicals.
Hugh Jackman is a song and dance man.
Yes.
That's true. You are correct.
Let's get into this.
Yeah.
So, who's doing the plot synopsis? Host.
Daniel's good at plot synopsis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very well. It's basically the flower...
He's my choice when I have no idea what the fuck happened.
It's basically Flowers for Algernon and Akira.
Combine those two movies, that's what's going on here. All right, so Pierce Brosnan is in
fact... eventually he turns into the last guy from, what, Descent? Or Doom 3? Like, for Doom 1. These are sub N64 graphics.
See, I was thinking like the show Reboot.
I loved Reboot back in the day.
That was fantastic, but this is the graphics that you get in the film.
That's absolutely... Look at these hands!
This is like a $30 million film.
Yes.
And it's got the same graphics as this kids show, what, like 3 years later? 4 years later?
This reminds...
Oh, boy.
The graphics in this remind me of, like, when you would get, like, a PC magazine or go to, like, a store like Media Play and buy, like, 1,000 shareware games.
Yeah.
And, like, this would be the one that would be the one listed and you're just hands, like, in a mist ripoff. Like, it's nonsense. You're just like, these are my hands and now I'm a giant head spitting things at you.
Shareware. That's a word I haven't heard in a very long time.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I haven't heard in a very long time is the idea of reboot, which I don't know about you guys, but 5 a.m. on Saturday mornings when I was 7, you go down, you turn on local TV. In my case, it was Fox, so I got to watch Fox Kids. And even before that block, it was like, oh, man, there's some weird shit going on here.
You'd be eating a cereal that would be turning the milk a color.
Yes.
Right?
Not a natural color.
No.
Like, a color.
Either brown if it was chocolate milk or just kind of a vague
like a
pink.
Pastel.
Yes.
Yeah. So what the actual plot is this. Pierce Brosnan is a scientist named Dr. Angelou who's trying to do experiments on increasing cognitive capabilities on, first it's chimps because there's that chimp that shoots someone, and then he tests a human subject named Job who is introduced mowing lawns and being like a groundskeeper for everyone in the neighborhood.
The eponymous lawnmower man.
Look at your college words.
Yeah.
College boy.
That's why I have my master's.
That's right.
As the experiments go on, though, Job gets more and more dangerous and it especially becomes dangerous after his financiers, which is called The Shop.
CIA.
Right. Switches the formula, so he becomes more aggressive. And as he becomes more aggressive, he starts killing people. And then at the end, he starts deciding that he's going to be the leader of the world via cyberpunk ideals.
Somehow?
Yeah. His end game was never really clear to me. Like, he digitizes himself. Yes. I know I'm jumping ahead. He digitizes himself, and somehow that leads to world domination.
I was so confused.
Or
by
everyone
that.
Joins him in the virtual reality world.
It was 1992. Did AOL even exist yet?
Probably just barely. Like,
but the fact we never get a dial tone in this movie at all at this time period is strange to me.
Or random bitmap of pornography.
They try.
We do get pornography in this. When Jeff Fahey tears off his shirt and he turns out that he's ripped. He's looking good in this. So I, at this point, I want to say Daniel described the movie, but we should talk about the king part of this, okay? So if you see the poster, and the poster will be, of course, the icon that we get, it's listed as Stephen King's The Lawnmower Man.
That short story, I think, is about, and Matt would know this, a satyr, right?
I haven't read it either.
Yes,
I have read it, actually.
Yeah. Okay, well, enlighten us.
So it's about a dude who is the titular lawnmower man, and he goes, like, landscaping. But he's a satyr. And if you don't know what a satyr is, I'm sure John does, it is a mostly naked Greek character with a huge erection, who is a servient to Pan, the goat god. And so what he'll literally do as a sacrifice is he has to consume nature. So what he does is he strips himself naked, gets on all fours, and eats the grass to sacrifice to Pan. And then, the command is, you cannot watch me do this, but I'll make your yard look perfect. And the whole, twist is someone catches him doing this, and then the Greek god comes out, which is that there's essentially a monster man because he's a satyr, and he tears these people apart.
And that's one of the two scenes in this movie that match up the story where someone's killed by a flying lawnmower.
Exactly. And so the original story was called Cyber God, but Stephen King has this thing where he can license his short stories for almost nothing. And so they're like, well, what if we called Stephen King's The Lawnmower Man and just use this Cyber God script?
Well, Stephen King sues. That's what's going to happen there.
And a judge said, you're right, you can't do this. And so they had to take Stephen King's name off the movie posters.
But then repeatedly, they did not.
And then they put it back on for the VHS release and then the DVD release. And he said, oh, son of a gun, I've got to sue him again. And so he keeps making money off this nonsense. When all they have to do is say Pierce Brosnan at the top, and
just
people would still watch it.
Stop copying and pasting that damn digital art.
So which version did you guys watch, by the way?
Director's cut.
Director's cut.
That
the,
is the only
half
one
hour
that's
version.
Available. Yeah.
I thought we would do this a couple years ago, so I bought a version of it that's the regular version. So that's maybe why I'm more confused than you are, because it cuts out half an hour.
I was more tired because
I
wish it was. I mean, it's 45 minutes in before, the Lawnmower Man and Pierce Brosnan really meet.
Yes.
It's 45 minutes in. Although, we get the weird, monkey...
Wait. You're talking about Cyberman?
Yeah.
We need Cyberman.
Like, the whole monkey thing in the beginning, where they're obviously experimenting on monkeys because VR expands their cognitive abilities somehow?
Well, it's a combination of vitamins, as Pierce Brosnan describes it to Job, and VR games,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah, I mean, the main mechanism seems to be these drugs he's giving him. Couldn't they just give him drugs and have him read books?
Well, I think it's the idea that you've got flashing things in your eyes, so it stimulates your brain doing something, and the drugs help either relax or whatever. But they're opening up parts of your brain that don't normally work. And
that's bullshit.
Of course it's bullshit.
Let me just go ahead and say this. That whole
humans only use 10% of their brains
is bullshit.
So
that's just not how that works.
I don't know if you saw the point that
when this movie was made.
The line that Job made is when he achieves his higher learning or whatever, he says, this is what the charlatans and the wizards from centuries ago originally learned, and we forgot.
That was another
also horseshit.
That was another point
That is like aluminum foil hat nonsense. Like, you know, there's been six generations of humans before us, and then there was an apocalypse. So eventually, we'll make it past that.
Pierce Brosnan is running out of things to give Job to read, so he just gave a bunch of Weekly World News.
Well, he gave him, like, the Encyclopedia Britannica or whatever it was.
Yeah, basically, there was that whole scene where Pierce Brosnan says that... Encarta, that's
it took 100 hours to... It's 100 hours worth of history, and you read it in 2 minutes?
And he could get a PhD in 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, and, I mean... I also like how, I always loved how knowledge rapidly changed. It's like, you know, when you, like Fifth Element, which we did, where she wakes up and she just sees pictures of war. Right? I like how, like, fast information comes out, because, like, here it's just a bunch of esoteric symbols. Latin, the evilest language. He learned Latin sorry, I can't do his Irish accent, but Pierce goes, you know, he learned Latin in 2 hours. It took me a year to learn the alphabet.
And you're the alphabet's like, the same!
I was gonna say, yes. That's what I thought. I'm like, so you're just an idiot? Like,
yeah, no, exactly. If it was Greek or Arabic, which I have taken,
so that those scene are freaking impossible.
Arabic is impossible.
So that scene where Job says, my intelligence has surpassed yours, not so surprising.
Yeah, obviously, Dr. Man is not the smartest person in the world.
Well, to be fair, he has a bunch of Coors Heavy. Well, what is that? It's like Coors Golden Ale. The man drinks, and I love Pierce. He's one of my all-time favorites. The man does not drink beer all day.
He just smokes all day. That's what he does.
Smoke all day. Yeah.
But a man in his 70s, he doesn't have an ounce of body fat. He's not just sitting around drinking booze. At one point, he's holding a bottle of tequila like it's an old beer. It is breathtaking. I love it.
This is unique in that it introduces us to scruffy Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, and it was hot.
He's got the mullet Pierce going Brosnan. On, the scruffy mullet. He's got the I haven't shaved in 3 or 4 days kind of scruff. He has an
earring.
There are several.
He does have an earring. Yes.
There are several scenes in this where his wife is coming down and like being angry at him for not paying attention to her because he's totally focused on his VR technology.
So I have a question.
As a husband, he does the thing that never fails when your wife is angry at you. About not paying attention to her, you walk up to her, you kiss her, and then immediately try to have sex.
On the stairs?
Turns her around. Okay. Exactly.
I will say, I don't know how much she's in your version of the movie, because I saw the theatrical release, but she's in my movie so little, she should have been a special guest listing. She's in it for maybe 3 minutes total.
Yeah. She's in the director's cut a lot more, and she dies.
Oh, yes. Does she?
Yes.
Well, you don't see that in the...
No,
in my movie, that's not in the theatrical.
No, in my movie, she essentially drives out of movie town after they have a fight.
Oh, my God.
What? That was the best part of this film.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's... no.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So in my version, at one point, he's in the basement of this apparently endless house, right? Drinking beer. And she's like, oh, you want to go to dinner or something? It's a fight like you have. And then she gets mad at him and leaves the movie and then never reappears.
No.
Never.
That is... No.
So,
all right.
She comes back again for a second time. She's all dressed up to the nines. She says, I'm going out for a girl's night.
Uh-huh.
And then she wanders off. Next time we see her is after Job has achieved transcendence. And Pierce comes back from Washington or Virginia or wherever it is he goes.
Fairfax, I think.
And she's dressed like a Stepford wife. She's cooking in the kitchen.
No kidding.
Mind controlled.
Oh,
she's
no
like,
way.
Hello, sweetie. How are you? Your friend is downstairs. You should go see him. And at some point, like, Job is tying up Pierce in the basement. And she wanders down and says, are you boys okay? Do you need anything? And Job just says, no, go upstairs.
And this
she
is wanders upstairs. This is where Job is torturing Dr. Angelou.
Right. They've obviously come to cross hairs. And she then grabs a gun from the kitchen. And when the heavies are trying to kidnap Job...
The shop.
She opens the door, says, hello, yes, I'll go get Job. And the heavy turns around to like go wave at his guy or whatever. She pulls out the gun and just plugs him full of bullets.
Yes.
And then they open fire on her and she's just dead.
Oh, and the...
And then the boy comes in and walks over the body.
The best part of that, is how at that point Job's hooked up Dr. Angelou to the VR technology, so he's seeing everything from her perspective. Right. So right. He watches his own wife die.
Yeah.
There we go.
So that, I mean, I'm honestly surprised that was cut, because that was pretty damn cool. Because
that's where you, I think in the theatrical release, they make, you know, Job is more sympathetic. He's just taking revenge on people who spent his whole life treating him like garbage. Yeah. At this point, he's just gone total nuts and is like mind controlling his wife, Pierce Brosnan's wife, to kill people and stuff.
Well, dude, when he stands up to the priest, not when he kills him, but when he just stands up and you, like, you see that, like, Fahey bod, dude, that's an intense scene. Like, and again, like, there's a reason why you hire certain actors, and Fahey is not great at them. I mean, God help me, like, I love Machete and stuff, but, like, what's his name? He's not a particularly strong actor. He just can do anything, so you bring him in your movie.
Yeah.
And that's Jeff Fahey here. Like, he's good at what he does, and just that body presence is what you need. Now, Pierce, meanwhile, starts out really trying, and in the second half of the movie, he's... I don't know whatever they film things in, but his motivation seems to drop. apparently, they invited him to come back for the sequel after, of course, he was Bond.
Uh-huh.
Right. I imagine you could hear him laughing from the street. Like, he got the letter, he's like, ha!
Let me laugh in money here.
Wait, what happened in the sequel?
I have no
God
idea.
God help me, I have no idea.
I think there were two sequels.
Job has not been downloaded to the internet, and he's still in his body, but horribly disabled.
Well, we know Job survives. Off somewhere. We know he survives, as a spoiler. And that's kind of where the movie ends, in a very anticlimactic, oh, he's alive, but whatever.
Can we go ahead and just talk about the experiments on Job and how he gets smarter? First and foremost, originally I think they say he has an IQ of 48.
Mm. That's something.
And one of the few people who cares about him and treats him nicely is Peter, who is this like 11, 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Who also happens to be Dr. Angelou's neighbor. So.
And surprisingly, his brother. His brother treats him
the
pretty
priest's
well.
Brother,
yes.
Is it Job's brother?
It's a priest's brother.
Is it really?
Job has basically been raised by the church. He's sort of a ward of the church.
I thought it was his. Okay.
He's living in a shack behind the church, as the groundskeeper. But
I was wondering why his brother would be Irish.
But
then the priest isn't Irish.
Yes. But he is named Fahey, so it's not a hard stretch.
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Well, like, originally he's illiterate, so the scene with the chimp, which there were a bunch of scenes in the director's cut that were added to the theatrical cut, where he's, like, harboring a
super
Cyberman.
Cyberman. So if you've ever seen... Oh, shit. What was the monkey movie?
Outbreak?
The monkey... Damn it, you damn dirty ape. I'm
Planet
having a mind
Planet of the Apes.
If you've ever seen that, this is the opposite of that.
Yes.
This is like MST3K does Planet of the Apes. It's just like a prosthetic chimp hand, and sometimes you get the first person view of him picking up a gun or him opening a door. And it is the cheesiest of nasty, stupid stuff.
It's like the Terminator, where every once in a while he's got this like Oculus visor
like
on his head, and then he'll go around and then look at someone and be like, this is a threat, eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, though, the chimp dies after a SWAT team raid, and Dr. Angelou's there. And this is, I think, one of the scenes that was added in the director's cut with Joe breaking down over the chimp's death.
Yeah, and the priest is yelling at everyone saying they've traumatized him.
Yes.
And of course, then later he beats him with a belt.
Yeah.
Well,
we need a contribution from this company, so I'm going to beat you to ensure your silence.
Anyway, Dr. Angelou approaches Job because apparently he knows him as the lawnmower man because he does the groundskeeping at his house.
And I love that bit of world building that we see probably too much of it, but we see the Irish brother and Job go around doing their lawn service thing, and they're in the town. They go to the diner, they mow some lawns and all that, and they go to the gas station.
Ooh,
and
that...
everybody knows Joe. Everybody, he's like the town puppy or something.
That scene in the diner, which I assume is like connected to a gas station or something, where Job's at the comic book rack and...
gas station jerk comes in and scares him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy doesn't make any sense in any of the movie. I mean, he's at one point a foil, so Job can like punch him pretty good, and then he gets punched back.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he's just like, I'm a big jerk who's hitting on ladies, and then I'm out of this movie. Like, they keep introducing characters who don't really matter.
Did he die in the normal cut?
Yes. He's the guy that got strangled by the gas pumps.
Well, I mean, in the normal cut, because apparently we're dealing with two radically different films right
apparently
now.
Apparently so.
Because in the director's cut, he does some sort of mind rape thing that reduces him to, like, nothing. Like a lawnmower man eats his brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see literally a graphic of a lawnmower going over his brain. Is that
not just a lawnmower? It's his face.
Yes.
It's Jeffy's face with a lawnmower as the mouth.
When we say
this is a Freddy Krueger bit, by the way.
When we say Jeffy's face, what we're talking about is like a 32-bit representation.
This is a 16-bit if I've ever seen 16-bits.
Yeah. 32-bit is like the original PlayStation.
Yes.
This is like Star Fox graphics.
This is maybe
a little bit step up.
Yeah. Anyway, Angelo offers Job a chance to play games to make him smarter. And at first it's like, oh, it's going well, which is why compared to the Flowers for Algernon story, because that's what that story is about. It's a man who's mentally disabled who suddenly gets an IQ of 180.
Yeah.
But it goes a lot worse in this movie.
Yeah, and you can tell he's getting smarter because he starts developing interest in sex.
Well, he starts being able to read.
Yep. And he understands things. He speaks clearly. Like, the transformation of him throughout the movie is actually pretty interesting. Like, he starts out as he's hunched over. His hair is in front of his face. He's got a goofy smile. He talks haltingly.
Well,
and by the end of it, he's obviously ripped. His hair is combed. He speaks fluent. Everything, like, the transformation of him from simpleton to person, God.
Well, the weirdest part, though, is on top of that, him suddenly developing psychic powers, which I never understood how that worked.
He's using 100% of his brain now, Daniel.
Have you seen the movie Lucy?
No.
Have you?
No. I think that's the plot.
Again, that whole 10% of our brain thing is a myth. It's not true.
There's also Vin Diesel movie where he takes those pills to make him super smart and fast. It's all stupid. I do like how we learn that he's becoming smarter because he's looking at fashion, like at like a magazine. He's like, I wish I was like fashionable like these men, so he gets, because he's wearing like overalls and like a yellow shirt, so he looks like a Chucky doll. And then he ends up just wearing dungarees, and like, again, he's like, I don't want to look like I'm dressed from 30 years ago, I want to look now.
And that's when Jenny Wright hits on him.
Hits on him is a strong term.
Actually licks his face.
She shows up with lingerie and lemonade too. It's not like a subtle.
Would you like a sip?
And the priest brother encourages him to go for it.
Like I said, he's one of the few people who treats him fairly well.
Yeah.
Like, even the priest doesn't treat him
very well. Mustache Man is pretty good.
Yeah.
Job doesn't kill him, so hey.
And he's upset because he does die.
And then, Job goes total.
Yeah. Not like, that he wasn't before. He goes total.
Goes very. It's like an. And they've already the X-Men comics.
They made comics?
Yeah.
Which specific
the
comics?
Ones that are flashbacks to Magneto and his. When his daughter is killed by the angry mob, and he kills the mob, and the soldiers come for him, he turns their guns on them. It's
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. No, this is another character.
All right,
and so he basically makes him kill himself with a rifle.
Well, they
that
happens
that's
towards
the
end, yes,
and that's also in the movie.
He
makes the act. Well, in Lawnmower Man, he actually goes through with it.
Yeah, it is actually one of the more visceral parts of the film. I don't know. Again, the director's cut maybe.
Can we talk about the one thing that I think this movie's the most famous for? And
Pierce Brosnan?
The only reason that anyone cares about it, which is the VR sequences.
Oh, God, help me.
So, here's story time. Gather around. When I was young in the... It was like one of those mall shops, like the miscellaneous guy stuff. Type
Sharper
shops.
Image?
Like Sharper Image, like Brookstone or whatever. Mm. They had a section of videotapes that were all CG, and it was this type of graphics, and it was set to whimsical kind of music or seascape type music, and it was, oh, there's a VR pterodactyl flying over the ocean, and here's a song of them flying over the ocean, and it's all bullshit kind of CG, much like this film. That's what this reminds me of. The CG is garbage. They tried, I guess, to do what they could with it, And I didn't see it, but on the Wikipedia page, it said something like some of these scenes came from or went into other films that used this type of stuff.
You know, personally,
yeah.
Personally, the CGI in this movie is cheesy. It looks dated because it's 1992. I mean,
oh yeah,
you're not
going to
get.
People don't look like people. Polygons exist. Point of the
right. Place. Well, I still thought it was fine. I it's cheesy, but it was still disturbing the way it was presented in the movie.
I think it depended on what they were trying to do. Because, like, when they show the characters, like, especially at the end, you've got the VR Dr. Angelo and you've got the VR Lawnmower Man. They look like reboot characters. Like, they you can tell that they were just assembled from polygons. When they're doing, like, the traveling down the tunnel type thing and you've got the... esoteric symbols flashing in front of their faces.
Right.
That kind of works. It's very Doctor Who-y type
thing. Yeah, a reboot character like the voice of Satan and the mullet.
Yeah.
So Megabyte then.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. Megabyte actually looked better than Job did at the end. But, I mean...
I mean, this is also a deep pull, but I may be the only one. There was a show in the late 90s, I think, called The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
And they had Quest World, right? Like, half the show was just illustrated, and then they would go into this virtual world that was invented by Dr. Quest, and then, like, taken over by a villain or something.
Yeah. Dr. Surd.
Didn't Johnny Quest's sister have to rescue everyone from that world?
She wasn't his sister, was Race's daughter, so she was kind of a friend.
Oh, okay.
That's how you get that love interest.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Sort of. Yeah. And then Haji's in it, but he actually has more than one sentence an episode, so he's a character now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made him like a cyber genius, so I guess a new stereotype is to have an old stereotype.
That's right.
Sounds better than Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird show.
I think we talked before in other movies about how Hollywood tried to use computer graphics or special effects in ways they just couldn't before their time. Like, if this was made today, the exact same sequences would be CG. They would be more believable, but that's fine. But they just, I mean... they did not age well at all.
Nothing here aged well, no.
Frankly, though, emotionally, I still think it works, the CG sequences in this movie, because they're still disturbing, and this is supposed to be a horror movie.
Is it, though? Most of the film, I'm just bored.
This is a very boring movie, and it's also a confusing movie. Like you said, he just gains powers at some time. Yeah,
the director's cut makes a lot more sense, even if it's slower.
No, it doesn't make more sense, because if I'm a scientist and suddenly my test subject starts getting mind control powers, I'd end the experiment.
I mean, he tried, and then Lex Luthor was started messing with it.
Well, yeah, Mr. I'm too ethical to allow chimps to kill people. Suddenly takes on human trials outside of the lab in his basement.
Well, he was trying to... It seemed to me that he actually cared about Job and making and improving his life, whereas Lex Luthor just was like...
Well, Lex Luthor was even like, okay, this is kind of cool. He didn't want to do what he ended up doing because he was ordered to it.
I will say then, the theatrical cut makes more sense, because in the theatrical cut, the Lex Luthor... keeps wanting to cancel the program, says it's not working. And he is shocked that Pierce Brosnan has done this to a human being. And so Pierce only is upset when he gets acknowledgement that his project works, which is a weird shift. And like I said, it comes because he obviously cares for Job in some weird way. But yeah, no, I don't know. It's not like any of this movie makes any more sense than either version. They're terrible movies.
No. Like, I could have done without the whole chimp scene. I thought it was... I mean, like I said, it took 45 minutes, basically, for them to meet.
Yeah, I mean, it was 30 minutes until we met Peter, which was the kid that was Job's friend. And that becomes important, especially at the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that pulls him out of his rant or whatever you want to call it.
Well, the cyber crime.
The
one person who didn't treat him like garbage is in danger, and that's for one moment where he stops being a jerk.
Yeah.
That's funny that you describe him as a jerk at the point where he's killed two people with psychic powers, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Well, he's killed, right. No, I don't think the small army of security guards, I'm not sure how many of them actually died.
I think they just ran away.
I think he's going to scare them off with his swarm of CG wasps.
He scattered their molecules around.
Dude.
Which was a great sequence, by the way.
I like that, actually.
The fact that they're walking around while they're splitting apart and screaming.
Into marbles.
They're turning into marbles, but they're still screaming. They're still trying to walk around, and they're, like, slapping their shoulders. And
like, one guy opens his shirt, and there's, like, infinity inside his chest.
Yes. Right. Oh, God. Yes.
Oh, it was pretty bad, but it's fun.
It was pretty cheesy, but, I mean, it was still effective.
They did the same thing with Lex Luthor. Like, he demolecularizes and then comes back together constantly.
Yes.
I don't remember how he ends up dying, because we see a scene of him coming apart, then Pierce sees him, and he's coming apart and coming back together again, and then coming apart. Over and over again.
That's weird. When they turn into like balls,
they
break down like they're about to turn into a screensaver.
Well, we use the phrase marbles, but balls is also accurate.
But again, like, he's literally turning people into screensavers. Like, if you turn someone into a flying toaster, I wouldn't blink an eye.
Oh, that's not even the best part about this. Is the scene before where Job is like projecting his face, looking at the heavies, and it's like some 1970s graphic where he's just painted yellow.
It looks like one of the bad guys from Last Starfighter, Xur.
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Yellow CGI Xur, floating in the air over a couple of the shop's goons who have come to arrest Job and Dr. Angelo.
Which, again, doesn't really make much sense if you think that he has control over a digital world. And somehow he's able to project his face into the air.
What does control over a digital world even do in this scenario?
He even says at some point that virtual reality isn't something man-made, it's another dimension.
Yes.
But it's like, the whole point of it is it's a computer simulation. It is entirely man-made.
There's this line before he goes and does that where he projects himself into the mainframe, which the ending is the best part. That ending CGI sequence, I love that sequence.
He's trying to find the way out.
And Pierce Brosnan goes in, and then Peter shows up in the building. And anyway, I don't understand what he was trying to do.
Well, something about how he was going to call everyone on the phone.
But what does that accomplish?
His rebirth would be signaled by every phone in the world ringing. Doesn't mean anything. It doesn't tell us what he's doing, what his end game is.
Yeah, I mean, the internet in 1992, let us turn it off and go back to using radio.
Like, I love how they say, like, the mainframe in this lab is connected to 5,000 computers. And those 5,000 are connected to other computers. It's like, my phone, I can guarantee you, is connected to trillions of things right now.
That's right. Yeah, Job today would be a real problem. Back then, they just turn it all off.
They made that movie, by the way. It's called Transcendent with Johnny Depp, and it's awful.
Oh, boy. Oof. Transcendence.
He literally causes the apocalypse.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. Yeah, that's fine.
He's like, human beings are bad for the planet. I'm going to build more trees. Like, he literally does that. Like, he becomes, like, nanobots, and he, like, destroys people. It's really something.
Huh.
That would have made more sense than what happens here to Job.
Well, by the way, I guess strangely, Paul Bettany's in it, and he's not a robot. He's one of the people who's just a human.
Or is he?
Meanwhile, Cillian Murphy, definitely a person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy?
Whoever. The movie ends.
Well,
eventually
it
ends.
This movie is just garbage.
It ends after Job decides, you know what, I'm going to become a digital being of pure energy.
Right. He goes after the people who wronged him.
Right.
Specifically, Peter's dad who beats him.
The priest, the gas station.
Guy who he wipes his wipes his mind. Or
right.
With the priest he sets on fire with digital fire.
Oh, God, that looked terrible.
Oh, it looked
in a church.
In a church,
That was a particularly bad scene.
Yeah, that was...
Mm. I've come to hear your confession.
No, and then he starts...
dressed like Tron.
Yeah. And then the priest starts confessing. At least in my version, they also dropped that he was molesting children.
Yep.
I don't remember.
Yep.
That was in the director's cut?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want to talk about... unnecessary. The whole priest character is kind of unnecessary, but that part at the end is super unnecessary.
Because messing with kids, that's overkill. It's kind of cliche. Like, already established he's greedy.
Yeah, we don't like the guy.
Well, and like the neighbor's dad had to die because he was beating the kid.
And it's like the first time we see him, it's just a quick cut where he's like, I told you not to leave your bike in the driveway. And he slaps him over the head. What are you thinking about? What are you doing?
That was, I think, the only other scene that was in the Stephen King story is somebody getting brutally killed via lawnmower.
Yeah, flying lawnmower.
Luckily, it held true in that M. Night Shyamalan movie where the plants were trying to kill people with psychic.
Yeah.
That Marky Mark movie with the
Happening.
The Happening is terrible. That's a bad movie.
Yeah, I think I was at a writing group meeting. A friend of mine was there, and he's like, "You want to go? Just go watch The Happening because the meeting wasn't any fun." I said, "No, thanks.
Let's go have more fun. Let's
have fun instead watching The Happening."
Yeah, he kills the Peter's dad. And he puts the mom and Peter to get to sleep, and then kills the dad, because the cops the next day say they didn't hear anything, they didn't see anything.
Oh, and the other half of his body is in birdbath.
Yeah,
and Pierce Brosnan's
like,
"That's
the rest of him."
Pierce Brosnan walks up. He's like, "That's not where bodies go."
Kind of a fun scene.
That was fun. I mean, that was some levity. There was some joke mops.
Yeah, and then I mean, the cops are like, "Oh yeah, this is crazy." You know, there are two other murders. We don't know if they're connected, but no one saw anything. And then we see Job is standing on Dr. Angelo's porch, and the cops suddenly stop. They look at him. They're like, "Huh, accidents happen. Oh, well, what are you having for lunch?"
The Jedi mind trick works.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that's kind of what he's doing. He's just like, "These are not the murderers you're looking for." And they're just like, "I need a sandwich." And you're just like, "Okay, buddy."
Yeah.
Well, like we already described earlier with his wife, Job is able to manipulate minds.
Yep.
And after raw-dogging her, he tries to show her sci-fi, and that's a weird scene. he's like, "I'm going to, melt you with my brain." And then she nearly dies, and that's something.
I think she ends up by accident what he does to gas station bully on purpose.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, but he doesn't seem terribly broken up about that.
No, he is not.
Oh, CGI sex sequence. That was, oof.
Yes. That was weird.
That was bad.
That is weird.
If he had got angry, because at some point he says "Don't worry about it. Nothing can happen to you in VR. Dr. Angelo said this is perfectly safe," and then she basically goes catatonic or whatever. If he had some sort of grudge then against Dr. Angelo, would make sense. But he's just whatever.
He was wrong.
Yeah. That was when he actually still cared about people. I think that was when he was still on the regular meds and not the aggressive meds.
I thought the aggressive meds, that was the first sign that something was wrong, was he was doing the stuff to that girl in the virtual reality that she didn't want him to do.
You know, I think you're right, man. But he was at least showing remorse after the fact.
Yeah, he did. Then things just take a turn.
I mean, I've certainly been on dates where I meld myself into a woman and we look like a dragonfly, and then she ends up all traumatized and
stuck
then,
to the ground.
Yeah.
And then at one point he actually started shooting up with the aggressor chemicals in his neck.
We see
yes.
that.
Yes,
yeah.
yes
do,
he
yeah.
did. Can we talk about the ending? I know we need to wrap up here soon.
Well, we'll get there eventually.
Eventually they just give up and run the credits.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan somehow shows that he can use an assault rifle and set explosives.
Well,
yes.
How do you think he became James Bond?
Yeah, this is his sizzle reel.
Well, the ending is Job projects himself back into the mainframe of VSI. I don't even know what that
vaguely sinister
for.
Contractor military
exactly.
corporation.
Yes.
Kind of
yeah. There you go. Water. And then, so the last 10 minutes are all in CGI, and Pierce Brosnan goes into a giant CGI Job and tries to fight him.
Because Job transfers his essence or whatever into
he
the mainframe.
He transfers everything.
He abandons his body. He abandons his body, which turns into a decayed husk of a thing.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool. Okay. Yeah, that's neat. So Pierce goes in to try and convince him, "Don't do that."
Well, at that point, he's convinced, Job is convinced, "Hey, I do this, I control the world.
5,000 computers are at my mercy.
I have a 56K modem and I'm threatening. I'm going to upload myself 1 kilobyte at a time."
But what Job doesn't know is that Pierce had infected the mainframe somehow.
Yeah.
And
well, he hacks
shut
in,
it off from the internet.
He hacks in earlier. There's a scene with that where he's hacking in, and then there's the guy at VSI going, "Somebody's cutting us off from the net."
Because they're trying to transfer all of his research to the shop.
But as someone who's had internet problems recently, I can tell you that's not a good thing. And I would be screaming just like that guy was. The internet's down. What do we do?
I wonder what Joe would sound like on an AOL sign-in.
Hello.
Hello.
It's like, hello.
You've got mail.
You've got cybercrime.
Okay. I am God. I think Matt just nailed it.
You just, I am God.
You yeah. just close down the keyword window and then you're fine. Like, he's like, hey, come back. Oh. But yeah, and then like Pierce Brosnan blows up a building, not on like a certain day, 3 years later.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like the only thing that brings Job out of his like rant and crucifixion of Pierce is that they hear Peter screaming for help, that he's lost or locked in a door or somewhere.
By yeah. the way, all of what just happened, like the Pierce Brosnan crucifixion, 16-bit CGI.
It's oh yeah, it's pretty
the
bad.
The best 1992 could offer.
It's pretty bad.
It sure was.
Now they make a point of saying, Job realizes there's bombs in the building. And
yes.
He tries to reach out with his telepathy and stop them, but he can't because he's no longer physical. So he can't impact the physical world. But...
You can't defuse the bombs, can you?
But Peter's locked in a room, but Job can unlock that door.
Well, because he was connected to the network inside the building, I think.
I don't know. That just seemed kind of funny.
Well, yeah.
Is he in the building?
The bombs are not networks to the building. The doors are.
Will say, clearly, Steven Spielberg watched this movie because he ripped the scene off the next year in Jurassic Park. But they couldn't get the doors open and closed. I mean, it's just right there, people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why aren't you thanking Jeff Fahey when you're talking about that movie? I mean, no one thanks
Jeff. There are a couple of reasons, Nick. There are a couple of reasons.
Then we have an explosion.
And Job is trying to get out of CG land while the building is blowing up, and Pierce had locked it, so it's like, no exit.
Right. Access denied,
And he finally finds one that says, access granted. A back door! And the building blows up. And Pierce begins his new life with the neighbors?
Yeah.
Which if the wife hadn't died in the theatrical cut, I don't know how that made any sense.
Well, because at the end it had more like a Dante's Peak kind of ending or Jurassic Park, like we made it through together. Like they're not really...
Okay.
It's not as clear that they're living together, more like, I brought your son home, you're welcome.
Okay.
Which, I mean, is fine. Like, I don't feel like I lost anything to know that Pierce isn't shacking up with a neighbor, but still, like... whoever ended this regular cut just wanted to get out of here.
I think everybody in this film wanted to get out of here.
I think you're right.
Yeah, you can really feel that.
Woof.
I think we've already gone over the ending. There's, like, a audio log of Pierce Brosnan saying, I'm not going to do this research anymore, and then... Job said he would make every phone on the planet ring at the same time, and at the end, it does.
It does. And that's how you know he didn't die.
Yeah, somehow. Which is why we have to explain it over two sequels. Thank God they did Matt's work for him and explained how they should have done it.
Two sequels?
I thought so.
I think there are two sequels.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the one that
I'm sure the other one was made by Sci-Fi Channel for Sci-Fi Channel.
You know what, Nick? I got that vibe, like a mid-90s Sci-Fi Channel original movie.
Yeah.
This felt like.
That's what this should have been, yeah.
Not a theatrical cut, no.
Which, if it had been a sci-fi movie, it would have been great. I mean, compared to things that sci-fi usually does, but here?
Like, there are elements where you think, this could have been a good movie.
I would have loved to show this to like, William Gibson's like, okay, you created this genre of cyberpunk and like humans going into the virtual land.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this? And just
hear
what he had to say.
There's nothing here.
There's nothing here. Everything about it, just about. Even Pierce was underused, I think. And he only really comes out maybe in the second half where he's got more to do. Instead of just a whiny scientist, you wouldn't understand the trouble that I'm going through. He says constantly to his wife.
Yes.
But then we don't understand what he's going through. He's just...
Yeah, the director's kind of thought he was upset about the chimp getting shot.
He's upset over everything.
I don't even know what he was trying to accomplish with his experiments. I mean, was his goal to give everyone psychic powers?
I think he wanted to, like, make everyone smarter and do things like fixing people like Job, but the shop and his bosses were like, you know, we could train chimps for war this way.
Well, at the same time, though, I mean, even before that happens, where Joe becomes aggressive, he's already got psychic powers, and he's talking about how he can read minds, and Pierce Brosnan, Dr. Angelo just says, all right, well, that's something to look into. If I was him, I would have been like, okay, this is clearly, something's going wrong.
Well, I think he was starting to get scared of him when he's like, you know, maybe you could read slower, you'll appreciate it more.
But we don't get the sense of that in the movie.
That's what I was getting. That's he was trying to stop the experiment at that point, and then Lex Luthor started doing the aggressive chemicals.
But we don't spend nearly enough time on... He can move things with his mind. He can read thoughts. We spend more time on him reading the Encarta than we do on him lifting chairs with his brain.
Mind over matter, Doctor.
There's so much, because either sequel's bad, too. One's Transcendent, one's Planet of the Apes. Like, you make super smart.
Yes.
Like, no one's thinking anything through here. They're just kind of going ahead. And by the way, if it is a shop-run business, you don't need to add bombs. I'm sure there's bombs hidden in the wall. That's why it super explodes at the end.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't he, like, find them somewhere? And
they're in the van of the heavies who come to his house.
Yes, exactly.
So a kidnap squad just happens to be carrying around enough explosives to level a building.
It is the shop.
Yes, it is the shop. The shop.
The CIA.
I mean, their boardroom has guards posted every 6 inches around the perimeter of the boardroom. So that's how you know it's a legit operation. And B, the head of the shop, you know, Mr. Big or whatever you want to call him, he's on a wall-sized TV talking to Lex Luthor.
Like Big Brother. Like, exactly. I know it sounds like they were making a joke. No, they like really do a number to make him look like Big Brother.
Yeah.
Well, they needed to sell Apple computers.
That's how you know this is a bad company.
This is awful.
Well, have we got anything else to add to this?
Absolutely.
Nasty thing?
No.
All right, let's wrap it up then. So, this was stupid. Let's go around and give our final thoughts.
I like the creepy CGI sequences. Those, even though they're old, still kind of hold up and kind of hint at what everyone intended. But the live action scenes, the character development, no. I can understand why Stephen King sued the producers for putting his name on this.
Really. This is nothing like my story.
If I were Chris Brosnan, I would have sued not to put my name on this, too.
That's right. Jeff Fahey stands alone.
Matt?
It was all right. The director's cut built up the characters more, but it was also a lot slower. I mean, it made more sense. It sounds like a theatrical cut did. So I mean, if you must see it, just watch it once. Because, I mean, it's so long.
There are better bad movies. Don't watch this. I'd rather watch Hackers again over this.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking of other cyber thrillers we've done on the podcast, but, like, that one's stupid, but it actually makes jokes. Like,
well, it's Fisher Stevens, isn't it?
Fisher Stevens.
And Penn Jillette. And I think Penn Jillette was...
Penn Jillette is in it, too.
Yep.
I mean, it's just... That's a movie. This is not a movie. Don't watch it. Not even once. I guess if you have to put it on at a party or something, get the theatrical, because it's half an hour shorter.
I feel like this is a PSA at this point. The Lawnmower Man. Not even... Once.
No, not even once.
Yeah, really.
I guess if you're Jeff Fahey completist, but no, there's no reason.
Because there are people like that.
I'm sure.
But, I mean, if you wanted to see Pierce Brosnan before he was suave and debonair and James Bondish,
Remington Steele.
This is apparently what he is, but yeah, I would watch Remington Steele any day.
Noble House, I think he was in that too.
Yeah, or Mrs. Doubtfire. He's a better character, and in a quarter of the scenes, he's a better character in Mrs. Doubtfire than he is in this. This is just a train wreck of a film that did not need to be made.
Nope.
And yeah, apparently I'm glad I watched the director's cut because it made more sense, and we got to see the wife have her brain
blown out.
Yes. Which was oddly one of the better scenes of the film. I'm sad they cut that. But, I mean, I was bored through 4/5 of this film. It was just boring. The entire first act could just be axed and it wouldn't matter. So yeah, I would avoid this. But if you're like an early 90s completionist for CG, you know, maybe.
Watch the other movie that they use the same footage in.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. That's the end of this issue of Mission Briefing. We will catch you next time. Thank you for tuning in. And have a good evening. Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.